Today, we're going to be looking at Revelation chapter 19. Yeah, we skipped ahead. We're going to be looking at, John, of course, was on the Isle of Patmos. And he received a revelation from the Lord. And then he wrote that revelation down for us. And there were some things that he saw in that vision that is very important for us to know and important, very important for us to realize regarding our own lives. We've been talking about heaven, the things we see in heaven. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the battle going on regarding Christians and regarding our life here on earth. And I want you to understand this. I failed to mention this a couple of weeks ago. But you need to understand this, that every time you pray, you are in warfare prayer. Okay? If you are fervent in your prayer, you are doing warfare prayer. There's not a difference between warfare prayer and just regular prayer. Every prayer you pray is warfare prayer. And it's important that we learn to pray and that we come against the gates of hell regarding our prayers. Today we're going to change totally from the battle scene to something that's going on in heaven. How many of you like weddings? How many of you like your own? Yeah, of course. We're going to be talking about a wedding today. And each of you, if you are a child of God, you're going to be attending this wedding. You know, weddings are an exciting time. John Doe was going to be married, and he was really flustered, really anxious. But he got up and there, and rather than paying the preacher or the wedding fee, he gave it to his bride. Then whenever the pastor or the preacher said, "You may kiss your bride," he actually kissed the preacher. And the preacher was so flustered, he said, it's customary for the groom to cuss the bride. The weddings can be exciting, but they can also be frightful, especially for the groom, for some reason. I've done a lot of weddings, and it's usually the groom who's just anxious. And got a lot of good wedding stories, but I'm not going to tell them all. But it's usually the fellow that's anxious. I remember my own wedding when I married my beautiful bride, Cynthia. I was to sing for her. And I did okay, but man, I was a little anxious about that. I was looking forward to the day. It was a marvelous day. As a matter of fact, we had planned a June wedding. We decided to move it up to August because it was just good to do that. And so we moved it up to August. We got married in August, on August 18th, and have spent 40-something years together. Praise the Lord. She's put up with me that long. Well, I'm looking forward to another wedding day. And this wedding is actually going to take place in heaven. And so, I want to read this wedding scene to you that John saw. And if you would, stand together for the reading of God's Word. After these things, I heard a loud voice. I'm going to read it out of the NLT. I think that's different than what I have up here. Get out of the way. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, "Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her." And again they said, "Alleluia! Her smoke rises forever and ever. The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. Then I heard again what sounded like the shout of a vast crowd, or the roar of mighty ocean waves, or the crash of loud thunder. Praise the Lord, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him, for the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear, for the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. And the angel said to me, Write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he added, These are the true words that come from God. And I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he said, Do not worship me. I am a servant of God just like you and your brothers and sisters who testify about their faith in Jesus. Worship only God, for the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you today. Thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you for what's about to happen. We thank you that we can trust you in these dark hours. And Lord, we thank you that you have something special in store for us in heaven. But Lord, not only that, you have something special in store for us here on earth too. And so, Lord, we want to receive everything that you have for us. Open our hearts to be able to hear your word. Open our ears to be able to receive your word. Open our lips so we may testify of your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So you will notice that John was looking on this wedding in heaven. And it was attended by millions and millions and millions of people. There was a great crowd there, a vast crowd, witnessing this wedding. People from every nation, every tribe, every language, every people group, every culture was there at this great wedding. And it was a vision of what's to come. Now, it hasn't happened yet. It's something that's going to happen. It hasn't happened yet, but John was there as if it had already happened. He was watching it unfold before his eyes. As a matter of fact, actually, he was talking about a feast, and I'm wondering, even now, is the Lord preparing a feast at this time? For that day? I mean, he's had some couple of thousand years prepare this thing, okay? And it sounds like he's still preparing it. He's getting ready for us. So today, I want us to look at this wedding. This will take place at the end of days. It will take place after the judgment of the earth. It will take place after the judgment of Jesus Christ. It will take place after the resurrection of all of God's children. It's going to take place in heaven. And it's going to be grander than any wedding that you've ever experienced before. Now, whether you like weddings or not, this one you will not want to miss. You will not want to miss this wedding. So the first thing I want you to notice is the wedding music. In the first part of Revelation, there's going to be wedding music. And you know, there's not a lot of the music that's really focused on the bride in this scenario. All of the music is focused on the groom. It's the Hallelujah Chorus. Handel, Messiah, he wrote what's called the Messiah, and in that he writes a Hallelujah Chorus. And he uses these passages to exemplify and to uplift and exalt Jesus Christ, and in his music. If you never have never heard that Hallelujah Chorus before, and if you could ever hear it with a big choir and one who could sing well, it will lift you. It will lift your spirit. It's a wonderful, wonderful song. The word hallelujah means praise Jehovah. Hallelujah means praise. Yah means Jehovah. And so whenever you say hallelujah, you're saying praise the Lord. Praise Jehovah. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say it again.
Hallelujah.
Say it again.
Hallelujah.
Can you imagine millions and millions and millions of people singing that? Can you imagine? I mean, we had a great worship time this morning. But can you imagine the worship that's going to take place that day? It's going to be phenomenal. It's going to be out of this world. Literally. So, the second thing I want you to notice, I want you to notice who the groom is. The groom is the Lamb of God. We've met him in Revelation chapter 5 when he was, no one could open the scrolls, remember? And John saw a lamb as if it had been slaughtered. And this lamb stood up and took the scroll from the man or the one who was sitting on the throne. And he was able to open the seals. Now again, I want you to notice, in a normal wedding, who normally has the attention of everyone? The bride. That's not the case in this wedding. All eyes focused on the groom. Everything about this wedding has to do with the groom. He is the center of attention. So, who is the bride going to be? There's a lot of, I went on the line, see who different ones said that the bride was going to be. And did you know it's not the Baptist church? Yes. Now, some denominations claim it's them, okay? But the Baptists don't. Did you know it's not the message? This may be a surprise to some of you. You know, it's not the message. Some people say the bride is, according to Revelation, I think it's 21, which Jerusalem comes down from heaven as a bride. Some people say it's going to be Jerusalem. Who's the bride going to be? Well, before we go there, let me tell you a little bit about come back for them to marry. And they trusted their people to even make those kind of decisions for them. And so there was this arrangement made, and then either at that time or at a different time, the groom would come to the home of the bride, and they would make a contract together. They would have a covenant with one another. Actually, it was the marriage covenant. Now, they did not consummate the marriage until later on. But they would have this covenant with one another, and basically at that time, it was called the betrothal. At that time, they were a married. Everyone saw them as being married. It was a little different than being engaged in that it was a more binding contract than an engagement. It was not anything you could just break off. Because when you made that covenant, when you made that vow, you were tied together forever. Now, then what would happen was that the husband, the groom, would go back home, and he would build a house for his bride to be. And when the bride, when the husband or the groom finished building the home, he would leave his hometown, travel distance to her hometown, and he would claim her as his bride. And then he would take her back home to be with him after everything was ready. Beautiful picture. Beautiful picture. So, who is the bride? Well, before we answer that question, I want us to look at a picture of the wedding or the picture of the bride and groom, the husband and wife in Scripture. At the first wedding, of course, was between who? Adam and Eve, that's right. Adam and Eve. And in Genesis chapter 2, God says this in verse 24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Man, wife, leave their father and mother. They'll be joined together, and they will become one flesh. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. But I want you to notice in verse 30 of Ephesians chapter 5, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bone. Who is that talking about? Yeah, so we are members of Jesus' flesh. We're members. We find also in 1 Corinthians 12, 27, now you are the body of Christ, members of the body. Jason, you and Betty got married. So, okay. Yeah, I wouldn't get it, he said. So here's what he's showing is that when we become a Christian, we begin to follow him. We accept Jesus Christ as our first Lord and Savior. We become that commitment we made to him, and that commitment he made to us. We are one body. Paul says this, 2 Corinthians 11:2. For I am jealous for you. God be jealous for you. God be jealous for you because you keep getting off. Goes on to say this. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Tell the Corinthian church. He said, you are betrothed. You are committed to it. Your life has been given to Jesus Christ, and you ought not worship any other God. And you ought not follow any other creed than that of Jesus Christ, because you are bound to him. So, who's the bride? The church. Lord Jesus Christ. Not the Latter-day Saints. Church. Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is Christ. You accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You became bonded. You became one. When you received Christ Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit came into your life to fill that wedding union. Okay? Now the Holy Spirit, so we're going to find out that the bride made herself ready. We're going to talk about that more next week. But one of the reasons for the Holy Spirit is that he's preparing us. He's helping us to get the bride ready. One of the reasons for the church is that we're to help one another get ready for the wedding. I know in normal weddings, either the mom or friends help the bride get ready. But she can't do it by herself. Never seen a bride do it by herself. Too many details. They can't see their hair in the back. As somebody is attending her. Somebody is helping her. I just want to let you know that you can't get ready by yourself. You can't get ready by yourself. He allows the Holy Spirit to help him get prepared for this wedding. I'm not ready yet. There's still some stuff needs to take place in my life. Some of my garments need to be washed a little bit. Some of my words, some of my thoughts and actions. Because when Jesus comes, he's coming after a spotless bride. We're going to talk about that more next week. One of the reasons the church is here is to help you prepare for that wedding day. It's not the coronavirus. So, we have to help each other prepare. You have to help me prepare. I have to help you prepare. We help each other prepare for this wedding day. Wouldn't it be horrible to show up at your wedding unprepared? That would be horrible. We have to help each other. Be prepared. Now, I want to say again, on this wedding day, when you got married to Renee, who was your main focus? Renee? Betty, when you married Jake, who was your main focus? When we get married to Jesus, he's going to be our only focus. And I want you to get this. was standing before Jesus on that wedding day. All of the stuff that's now distracting you and the distraction. And I'm wondering, perhaps, we wouldn't be disturbed about Black Lives Matter. It's a concern, yes. We need to pray, yes. But we don't allow it to take us into dark places. Because our eyes are focused on the groom. But we don't need to lose our focus. He's still your groom. And he's coming after you one day. And we don't have to wallow in misery unless you just want to. Unless you just want to. Because he has given you freedom from that. The Lord has come to set you free. And because he's come to set you free, you are free indeed. Unless you just choose to be bound up. It's your choice. The second thing I want you to notice regarding the groom. And I know this is a hard word for many of you, but there's this word of submission. Word of submission. And we'll look next week in Ephesians chapter 5, and it talks about the husband submitting to the wife, and this is the picture. The church submitting Jesus Christ. Always, always, always submit to the husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is saying, come follow me. So in Old Testament traditions, the bride never knew when the husband was coming. He said, come back for you. Get your house finished. She's waiting. It may be a year. Maybe 2 years. She doesn't know coming. She just knows he's coming. And from the time they make that travel, betrothal, until the time he comes, she's preparing for that. She's preparing for when he comes. Preparing. She's waiting. She's listening. She's prepared. Because one day, she knows that he's coming back. You don't know when Jesus is coming. None of us do. When he left, he said, I'm going to be back. You remember in John chapter 14? Jesus said to his disciples, I'm going to go away. I'm going to prepare a home for you. Don't get discouraged. Don't be anxious. Be fearful. In my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to come back. Give up hope. Don't fall into sorrow. Don't fall in despair. Don't fall in depression. I'm coming back for you. Our hope is in him. Our hope is not in President Trump. Our hope is in him. Our hope is not in our legislature. Our hope is in him. Our hope is not in Biden. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. That's where our hope is. And he said, I'm going to come after you. Keep watch. Be ready. At a moment's notice, be ready. Last thing I want to ask your attention is that you have an invitation to the wedding. You have an invitation. Susanna Metzger, professional singer, tells a story about the importance of accepting wedding invitations. Several years ago, she was asked to sing at the wedding of a very wealthy man. And according to the invitation, it indicated that the reception was to be held top two floors of the Seattle's Columbia Tower, Northwest tallest skyscraper. She and her husband, Roy, were excited about attending. When they arrived, there were waiters wearing tuxedos, offering hors d'oeuvres and fancy foods to the guests. The bride and groom were standing at a gorgeous staircase of glass and brass that led up to the top floor. A satin ribbon extended across the stairs at the bottom was ceremoniously cut. The announcement was made that the couple was about to enter. The guests would follow the bride and groom up the stairs as the feast and the festivities were about to begin. Susanna and Roy were among the other guests as they arrived at the top of the stairs. They were greeted by the Marty Day, who was holding a bound book outside the entrance. Marty Day asked, "Why have I asked?" Susanna announced their names. "My name is Ethan Metzger. I have a book." Marty Day searched the end for the book. "And your name, would you spell it, please?" Susanna spelled it very slowly. Marty Day looked at the book again and said, "I sang at the wedding." The woman responded, "Area and orchestra was prepared to perform." Susanna has reported to the service elevator, heading to the parking room to make it Let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life. So the invitation is given by the Holy Spirit. You may be here this morning and you feel that something stirring in your soul. That's the Holy Spirit calling you. Come. The church says, come. We want you to be at the banquet. Will you come? I think he has my husband. You respond to his invitation. If you've never committed your life to Christ, we're supposed to keep our social distance. I'm not going to play with you at this point. You'll just put on your communication card. "I want Jesus with me." Or I want to talk to the pastor more about this decision. Or I want to go to the end. I'd like it. So don't leave here today without responding to the invitation. You may not have another invitation. This may be the last invitation. Father, I come before you today. Man, I'm looking forward to that wedding. I am looking forward to that wedding. I was looking forward to my wedding with Cynthia. Man, I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be fabulous. I'm sure John couldn't describe everything that he saw in words that we could really take in. But Lord, I know it's going to be marvelous. Lord, I don't want anyone here today to reject you. I want each one to respond to this wedding invitation. And Lord, as we sing this song, may they hear your voice. Say, come. Come, come. To the Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.